The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Have you ever seen Reggie's Prayer?
I'm familiar with Reggie's Prayer. Reggie's Prayer.
Yeah.
Which was a movie from the 90s that, were you in it?
No, Brett and Holmgren.
I know, Brett was
Brett
in
and
it.
Holmgren's scene in the movie was the best part of the movie.
Hey, you're the new coach. Told you.
Told you.
First game.
20 minutes of kickoff.
MC Hammer's in that movie?
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Miyagi's in that movie?
Wow.
Yeah. The Big Show's in that movie?
Star-studded cast.
Yeah, that's a star-studded cast.
What was the premise of this movie?
I don't really know.
20 minutes. Yep. Been here 17 years. Bert's been here 3.
Well, okay. I guess I got to get going. We got a game.
You guys want to guess at the lifetime gross of Reggie's Prayer from 1996?
$7,000.
$1.2 million.
$52,000.
My son and I invented a football play a few years ago. Here.
1979?
Yeah, Coach Carney was a busy fella. Busy guy. I call it the Left Coast Special.
Looks like the quarterback option.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
I don't know how it's all gonna end, but I know how it started. Chewy, we won fantasy football yesterday.
What?
Yeah, we won.
Hasn't even started.
We won. Joshy handled the pick.
Hold on, that seems a little gushy.
Oh, now I'm gushy.
Sounds a little bit gushy.
Everybody's gushy now. No, we won. The race was to see who could finish the fantasy football draft first.
Oh.
And our team smoked everybody else. Just flying through the picks. People were decisive, knew where they wanted to go, made their answers definitively, told Ashton. We used Ashton because he was the only person tall enough there to be able to put the stickers up on the board. If you were there, you would have done that, but you weren't there, so Ashton.
How long
it.
Were you there?
Hour 15.
Oh, what are you doing?
What do you mean, what am I
That's
doing?
That's a 20-minute hello goodbye.
For you. It was great to meet so many of our loyal listeners, though. I will say that.
Yeah, Josh, you said great turnout.
Putting faces to names on the talk and text line, on the YouTube comments. That was wonderful. I really appreciated that. So Josh, he picked our team. I don't know how we're going to do in our respective league, but Josh, you sound and feel confident about the team you've put together for Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Yeah, I thought the draft broke a good way. I was excited about it. I could tell the people in the room hadn't drafted nearly 150 teams to this point, so I did have a leg up in terms of the amount of time seeing it. Do you guys want to know my team? Our team?
Where did you draft?
10th.
Where's the best place to draft?
You want to be in the front.
Why? Because you got a quick turnaround at the backside, right?
Yes, but there's a clear difference in the top end players versus the back end, especially this year. So, like a Christian McCaffrey. You can count on.
He went one.
Yes, he did.
Yes.
I hate how running backs go so early.
Just the way the scoring works.
I know, but they're devalued. They should devalue them in fantasy football as well, just to stay consistent. Wait,
as we have this conversation, I want to tell you about a suggestion that Brad Nortman had yesterday on KBN that I was kind of like...
Don't even say he wanted to pick punters. Is that where he went?
No. Well, okay. Maybe. I don't know the specifics of it, but it was something along the lines of, like, if we're going to start giving out points for, like, defensive things, which we do. We give out points in fantasy football for defensive things.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you should get points for how well your team punts.
I knew there was going to be a punting connection.
It was
there.
Like 1 point for this, 1 point for that. It wasn't substantial, but it did make me think that, like, yeah, why not?
I want to go the other way. Eliminate kickers and defense from fantasy football.
Oh, really?
Give me just
now,
the skill
I'll take
players.
It a little farther. How about in football altogether?
No.
Oh,
you can't do that?
Can't get rid of defense. That's...
No, not defense.
That's what he said.
Can you get rid of punters and kickers? I mean, I love you, Brad, but Most of them are odd ducks.
I would like to talk to you about the new kickoff rules. Did you watch any of the game? First, I'm getting distracted. You're distracting me.
Yeah,
that's
standard operating
procedure around
you're,
here.
You're doing
Josh is going to tell us about his team, our team, and we'll see what we think of it. But later on, you and I should discuss the new kickoff rules that were on display for the very first time yesterday in the Hall of Fame game, quote unquote. I guess it was a game. It was sort of a game. Didn't watch much of it except for the kickoff to see how it was going to be played out. So Joshy is going to tell us who is, in fact, on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy fantasy football team this year.
First round pick, A.J. Brown. Second round. I didn't know if he was reacting or waiting.
Yeah, there was a very pregnant pause there. I'm not sure that that's a good sign.
So why didn't you go running back? Because they were all gone?
All the top end ones were gone here. I went heavy on wide receiver throughout. We have the strongest pass catchers in the league.
Is this PPR?
Yes.
PPR is the best.
Yes.
The best. Okay. Good call. Good pick.
Second pick, Garrett Wilson, New York Jets.
Good.
Was that a tough one for you? Because his success is reliant on you-know-whose success?
Jen, when it comes to being right, winning money, winning first place, I swallow all that. Goodbye.
Because number 12 will be in the conversation for MVP of the league.
Eight now.
You hear what he said? What
did he say?
He wears eight now.
Maybe I wasn't talking about him.
Third round pick, we want Devon Achane from Miami, the running back.
I don't know him.
He is the young guy last year who scored like four touchdowns in a game. He's really fast.
Is he the feature back?
He is. Mike McDaniel has been gushing about him. Okay. Talk about gush.
All right. Okay.
Round four, Nico Collins, Texans.
Mm-hmm. That's a good pick.
Round five, Devonta Smith from the Eagles.
Wow.
It's a little Eagles heavy.
Yeah. Round six, Mark Andrews, tight end, Ravens.
Good pull.
Round seven, James Conner, running back from the Cardinals.
We need a quarterback, buddy.
We're getting there. Round eight, Christian Kirk from the Jaguars. Round nine, Jalen Warren from the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Chewy is like blown away that there's still no quarterback on this team.
Round 10, Jaden Daniels from the rookie in Washington.
Uh-huh.
Then we go Devin Singletary, Brian Thomas, Nick Chubb, and Trevor Lawrence as a backup in case Jaden Daniels is not what we expect it to be.
Why wouldn't you start Trevor Lawrence?
Well, I might end up doing that. It's just Jaden Daniels is a higher value in fantasy.
Wow,
drafts.
You got a lot of receivers.
Sure do.
Thinking trade? When people get desperate.
Yes, we can trade. You can start three of them at any given time. At a certain point, you just have to take the best players that are there, especially when you're like, it was Brock Purdy at one point or Devonta Smith. Like,
what was the order of the quarterbacks? When I was there, Jalen Hurts went off the board in our league.
Lamar Jackson went in the second round, which is very
early. I'm sorry. That's what it was. Lamar Jackson.
Yes. He was the first one to go?
Yes.
Lamar was the first one to go.
He's not the first ranked in like most fantasy football leagues.
Who is?
It's usually Josh Allen.
Hmm.
And then followed by Jalen Hurts.
Where's Mahomes?
He's usually third or fourth off the board.
Why?
Because he doesn't rush as much.
That's another thing I hate. Devalue the running for the quarterback.
That's why Lamar went first.
Yeah.
They're looking at the rush yards as well.
Yeah. That's pretty good overall.
I mean, look, it's a hell of a lot better than I could have done. You mentioned that third player, A-Train, whatever. I didn't even know who that was.
I think he has a chance to be like the best running back.
So no Packers.
Zero Packers. The Packers went.
Anti-gush.
As I mentioned to you, when you get in Packers friendly rooms, much like the one was last night, the majority of people being Packers fans, they go much higher than I'm comfortable with any of them being drafted.
What was the highest Packers player that went last night in the draft?
Jayden Reed. Well, Josh Jacobs is the first off the board because he is the running back.
Even though Jason told us last night at Chalk Talk, he thinks that they're really going to be sharing carries. He actually said to us, Chew, he doesn't know. Basically, it was like how much they're going to lean exclusively on Josh Jacobs in the run game.
In the red zone or altogether?
Just like period. Because right now, A.J. Dillon is making a way of being someone who's going to carry the ball as well.
Really?
With the way he's looked.
I mean, I'm a fan of keeping him healthy till the end of the year and limit his touches. So, wonder how much they're going to run the ball, though. Will it be more than last year?
Well, you got the numbers from last year?
I don't think.
I would venture a guess they're probably going to try to run it more just because simply Aaron Jones was hurt for such a long time.
No, I know, but the offensive line is got some question marks.
Yeah, not as good.
So,
but I mean, at a certain point, they would just abandon it because AJ Dillon was the only option.
You know, one thing that I did find interesting, and the fantasy draft was a raging success. Congratulations to everybody who threw that on. And we were excited, as we said, to meet a bunch of our loyal listeners throughout the night. I was surprised at how many people are skeptical or hesitant to crown the Packers as the top team in the NFC North. Were you surprised by that, Joshy? When I asked that question, how many people are confident that the Packers will be the top team in the division? What would you say, 40-60? Maybe 50-50? It felt very, like, tepid,
that
if you will.
That surprised you?
Yeah, because I kind of assumed everybody would be a little toady.
I think our listeners think with their brain more than they think with their heart.
Oh, okay.
It was a little less toady than I expected. I do think there is, as I've mentioned before, the lack of Aaron Rodgers, I think, has people still tentative. The unsure nature of Jordan Love in a young team. It's not like the years previous where if you roll out Aaron Rodgers, everyone's like, well, they're the best team.
Yeah, we got this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think, I mean, the fact that the Lions made the NFC Championship game gives people, as Chewy would say, the jeeks a bit. You get a little scared. Like, that's no longer are the teams in the NFC North really a joke.
I believe I heard Mina Kimes say on television yesterday or the day before that she thinks the NFC North is the best division in football this year. Are you seeing a lot of that, Joshy, or is that exclusive to her?
No, I've seen a whole lot of that.
Because of the Bears?
Yeah, I think just because everyone thinks... I mean, obviously, the Lions are up there as one of the best teams in the NFC.
I disagree. Disagree. Totally disagree.
You're out on the Lions?
No, I'm disagreeing that it's the best
division
in football. I mean, look at the AFC North. You got the Ravens, Bengals, Browns. And the Steelers, because Tomlin is so good.
They'll be 500, as we know.
Or, yeah.
We're slightly above.
Yep.
That's the best division.
Is it?
I think. No?
Doesn't that depend wholly on the Bengals being able to bounce back to their championship ways?
If Joe Burrow stays healthy, he is a top
five quarterback, for sure. Yeah, agreed.
Yes. A lot of talent. Coach is good. They just got to figure out their receivers, sign them. Yeah, I would say that division. I wouldn't say there's a gap there, but I just think that division's a little bit better.
And I don't think I misheard her. Now, there's always a chance, but she may have said in the NFC, but I don't think she did. I think she said that the NFC North was the best division in, and I can go back and look. I'll look during the break just to confirm on that. But that when she said it, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
And I think it was because they think the Bears are going to be so much substantially better. It almost appears as though they think if the Lions are the top team, and maybe that's just because they are kind of grandfathering them into the top spot because they were the top team last year, and they think the Packers have gotten better, they think the Bears have gotten a lot better, and they've kind of moved up maybe even-ish to where the Packers are, and the Packers are nipping at the Lions' heels, so maybe Chew, it's one of those things where they think it's very top heavy now. You know, and who knows what's going to happen with JJ McCarthy, who, by the way, they were saying is getting number one snaps. Not a big shocker there in Minnesota, but I wonder how long Sam Darnold is for this world.
Was there Bears chatter there last night?
There was a Bears. There was one person who said that he thinks the Bears are the best team in the division, and you'll be shocked to learn that that was not Jim Rutledge. From our afternoon show in Madison, who was decked out in full Bears gear. Let me ask you this, because this was the other thing that surprised me a little bit. I love that everybody showed up wearing their football gear, obviously lots of Packers stuff. Alex Stroff was wearing the whiteout outfit that the Packers presented to him, which he obviously had rubbed in the nose of some of the guys in the afternoon's faces. One guy showed up wearing a Colts jersey and a Cubs hat.
Who was on the back of the jersey?
Manning.
Oh, okay. In a Cubs hat. That's a little odd.
I thought so. I thought of all the combinations of stuff, I guess it would have been worse to be wearing a Bears jersey and a Cubs hat. But you show up to the ESPN Wisconsin fantasy football draft, and you're wearing a Manning jersey and a Cubs hat.
That's strange.
The Cubs hat felt very trolly. Troll your boat.
I was marveling at the fact that fantasy draft just means throwing whatever jersey you got there. There was like people in Dolphins gear, people in every.
Really?
There was Packers jerseys, obviously, leading
Love,
the bunch.
Did Love dominate?
No, not actually. Some of them were older.
I didn't see a Love jersey. I'm sure there were. I didn't see them.
It was very, so we were in the back of the room with Dave and Buster's, very nice venue where we were all able to congregate. They had food for us, everything. It was a little hard for some people to find where to go, and I would just walk up to people in random jerseys and be like, hey, are you here for the draft? And I was 100 for 100 of people that were there for the draft that were like hanging out at the bar, because for whatever reason, fantasy draft time means throw on your sports gear and let's just go.
So how many teams are there in our little, eight?
We have 10.
We have 10?
Some leagues have 12.
So you got to manage that week to week?
Sure do.
Along with all of the other teams that Joshy is managing. How do the other teams work? Are they actual teams like on Yahoo or on ESPN or on any of those? Or are they like more like snippets of teams?
Yeah, all the other ones is it's best ball. It's a different type of fantasy. So I don't have to manage it. You draft it and then it picks your best players
set
for
it
week
and forget
to week.
It, if you will.
It's the best.
A little crock pot action.
It's the
here.
Most fun.
See, I used to love fantasy football, but there's too much cheating.
Cheating.
Ooh, yeah. Like collusion.
Collusion.
Yes.
When you're trading Jordy Nelson in his prime for six Gatorades and whatever, and
I'll
I'm
walk,
in the lead.
I'll walk your dog type of thing.
I'm out. I was done.
That's why you need a strong commissioner, somebody to tamp that stuff down.
What if the commissioner's in on it?
He was. He got Jordy. I'm like, oh my. And this is family. I lost it. No, I lost
it. Yeah,
I quit on the spot.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm surprised you did fantasy football. Most former players have like no interest in it because, well, they played the real thing.
I love the PPR. No, I learned that gambling. That was a painful check. I got in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, we've heard that one.
Yeah.
You thought you had an advantage? You
come on, I played all these years and I know everything. Can you make that out too? Yeah. Not good.
Well, Joshy is very excited about the fantasy football team he put together for Jen, Gabe, and Chewy last night at our annual ESPN Wisconsin fantasy football draft. Big thanks to Dave and Buster's for hosting the dang thing. The food was so good. Went back for several heapings of the tacos and the nachos that Dave and Buster's put together. And I am seeing rave reviews of that on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line and on the YouTube channel as well. Remember, you can always stream the show on YouTube. You can see Chewy having a coughing attack right now in the background. We got to get to Jason Wilde. He's coming up next. We'll talk to him about the fantasy football draft and his thoughts on the Packers going into the weekend.
Ready, down, hut.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field. He changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Big week for us. Not only talking to Jason Wilde three times this week, but also seeing him last night at the ESPN Wisconsin Fantasy Football Draft at Dave & Buster's in Wauwatosa. Jason, I assume you got home safely last night after the draft?
Big storms on I-43.
Ooh, yes, very good point. Yes, that's a very good point. I had forgotten. Those were treacherous yesterday. It was nice to see you. I certainly enjoyed our chalk talk, talking about the Green Bay Packers. And one of the things that struck Joshy as you and I were chatting was how it was your reaction to the defense so far this year. And so Chewy wasn't there, and a lot of our loyal listeners weren't there. And I know part of that is the privilege of being there is you get that inside information. But share with the world, if you will, how you've been feeling watching this defense in training camp.
Yeah, it's good, because I was going to start with how you made me feel fat standing next to you, and then I realized it had nothing to do with you. I'm just fat. I got to get better shape. So people took pictures and stuff. I was like, ooh, what is that? Ooh, this is not good. Maybe it's just the shirt, but I don't think so. All right, so here's the thing. Like, and as I told our fans that were participating in the fantasy football draft, like, it's not my job to get excited. It's not my job to root for the home team. It's not my job to just always tell you. And I think there's been kind of a shift in media a little bit. I had somebody tweet this to me, just a regular, normal person, who said that they were kind of bothered by the shift toward fan journalism. And I think he made a really good point that there's a lot of folks now that are, you know, hardcore fans that are also kind of, and I'm not talking about the Tom Silversteins or the Rob Domofskys of the world, but that are, you know, kind of that their coverage of the team might be a little bit colored by how hopeful they are that the team is good. And so I do think, you know, people give me a hard time about always saying that I'm not a fan, but I think that's important so you can understand that I don't have an ulterior motive. I'm not just telling you the good news or spinning news into it being better than it is. So with all that said, that's why it's important that when I do say something like I did about the defense last night, that you understand how high of praise that is in terms of the, and I'm not going to use the word hype because hype kind of sends a message of that it's phony. And I don't think it is. Like, these players are over the moon excited about what this defense can be. They are really excited about the style, the play. We keep hearing the phrase play style a lot. They are really excited about the potential play style. Aggressive, getting up the field. And it goes from the front of the defense all the way to the back because the guys up front are really excited to play in this scheme. They don't have to worry about two-gapping. They can just get up the field. The guys in the middle, obviously a linebacker, and then have a great practice. I love you. And then the guys in the back end who have vision to the football and have opportunities at interceptions. You know, I brought this up last night with you that, you know, no team other than the Tennessee Titans had fewer interceptions last year than the Packers did. And now, you know, I think everyone kind of thought when they first hired Jeff Hafley that they were going to play all this man coverage because Packers fans were so sick of guys playing 7 or 8 yards off the line of scrimmage and receivers catching easy passes in front of them. And so that's not what has turned out to be the case. What's turned out to be the case is they're playing a lot of zone coverage. They've got their safeties. They got one safety playing quarters and the other playing the other half of the field. And their guys have vision to the football, which should result in more takeaways. So all that stuff rolled into one has a lot of people excited. And what I said that maybe surprised you is that I'm excited to see it. Like, I'm really interested because I don't think there has been, and I know I told you guys this previously, I don't think that there's been this kind of excitement by the players on defense since Dom Capers came in and was so different than the lame Bob Sanders defense they were playing before that.
Jason, two-part question here regarding that. How much is McKinney coming up into the box in, I don't want to call it weak spot, where are the question marks?
Two good questions. I was going to ask you where the hell you were last night. Was it just
I couldn't come to an agreement. We thought we'd have it done by 6, just didn't happen.
Wait, so, well, why didn't you do like a Jordan Love thing? Why didn't you come, but then like play games at Dave and Buster's instead of participating in the draft?
Well, I thought Tausch was going to. I thought Tausch was going to sign, being Tua, and then I was going to sign right after him, but he couldn't get his deal done, so it all kind of fell apart. Sorry.
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah. All right. So, first of all, I'm fascinated by the safety play because and Evan Williams, who's their fourth round pick from Oregon, made the comment about how easy this Jeff Hafley makes it for the safeties, and yet it's so much disguise based. And LaFleur got after. I think he was kidding, but he was kind of bothered that Evan Williams told us, which I don't see why this is problematic, but Evan Williams told us that basically before the snap, Xavier McKinney decides whether he's going to go down into the box or whether he's going to send the other guy, whether it's Anthony Johnson Jr., Javon Bullard, or Williams. And LaFleur was like, oh, I'm glad Evan's telling you our secrets. But, like, the whole thing about those two safeties is the key to the disguise is that they're going to be truly interchangeable. And you know this better than anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Coaches love to talk about them being interchangeable, but most of the time they're not. Like, most of the time one guy's a box safety and one guy's a post safety or whatever it might be. And I think that's one of the other interesting things about this is that they picked guys that they feel like can do both. You know, they don't have Mike Pryor back there,
mm-hmm.
right, from old school reference. So that's kind of, to answer your question, it's unpredictable how often McKinney's going to come down versus stay back. So that's the first half. And the second half, you know, look, I mentioned this last night, Jason Rebrovich, the D-line coach, when I asked him, okay, this is great, all this aggressiveness, but what are the weaknesses that you guys have to make sure you guard against? And he said, yeah, I don't think there really are any. And I kind of wanted to, you know, conk him on the head and say, come on, man. Like, there are no defenses that don't have any weaknesses. Otherwise, all 32 teams would play it.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think, in my opinion, the weakness, and we've heard the phrase, playing the run on the way to the quarterback. My one concern would be that these guys are going to be so aggressive up front, the Devontae Wyatts, et cetera, that teams are going to use that against them.
They're going to trap them.
Some trouble against the run.
Yeah, yep. they're going to trap them. That's how you defeat that. Yeah. Yeah. That's good stuff.
Yeah, it was very interesting.
The interchangeable is very interesting, especially from a tight end standpoint, Jason, because you have to read it. If the opposite safety comes up from me, that's called four sky. If the strong side safety comes down, it's three lightning. And if the tight end doesn't know what the hell he's doing, it's very confusing. You know,
were there defenses that did that to you? I mean,
yeah,
we joke about how easily you're confused now.
Ours. Leroy was the best at it, you know. And Jay, I'm sure you heard the term box poach from back in the day. Box yep. poach, they disguise it as cover two and then slide. So cover two, I convert to the middle of the field. But if I convert on box poach, I get my ass reamed because it screws the whole play up. And Leroy was so good at it. And it really, those safety plays affect the tight end tremendously.
So thanks for joining my show because now I'm going to ask you another question. When they talk about disguise, and then they also talk about the simplicity with which Jeff Hafley teaches it, if you are an opposing offense, not just a tight end, but the whole offense as a whole,
mm-hmm.
I don't feel like Barry's defense did much disguising at all. Like, I felt like he kind of knew exactly what was coming. How much more difficult does it become for an offense if, because LaFleur keeps saying the more decisions you make the quarterback make after
the snap
mm-hmm. the better your defense is going to be. Is that true?
Yeah, totally true. Because, you know, Holmgren, and I'm sure you heard it back in the day, would say don't see ghosts. And that's pretty yep. much what disguising things are. Do not see ghosts. Now, where a defender will get ripped in that situation, Jason, is if they oversell it and then get uh-huh. beat. That's where they're going to get ripped. You know? Yeah. So there's a fine line on both sides. But, yes, it's if they're good at it, it puts a lot of pressure on the receivers and the tight ends.
Jason, we are pushing into Craig's time, so I want to get to this question very quickly. What should we take away from the kicking competition? So we saw that it is now down to two because they cut the rookie earlier this week, James Turner. And it sounds like Greg Joseph has taken a bit of a lead just because he's been so consistent with his kicks.
Uh-huh.
Is that fair to say? Is that kind of how this thing is trending then?
Yes. Was that quick enough?
That was very quick. Do you have anything else to add, though? I mean, I heard Brad Nortman yesterday on his show, and I thought this was fascinating. Brad said, essentially, he hasn't put together consistent success where his confidence is high and he can compete with this veteran who essentially can do it in his sleep. And not that he can't compete like overall, but like it feels like that might be the big distinction here is that Joseph has all of this resume and all of the success and Anders is still trying to find his confidence that he can hang with the big dogs.
Yeah, I Brad obviously was a specialist in the league. He would know better than I would. I would just say, Greg Joseph has missed two kicks in live sessions out of 31. He's been better. So, yes, he has a lead. But as Greg Joseph himself said, they're going to kick in Lambeau tomorrow night. That'll be different. They're going to kick in preseason games. That'll be different. So, for him, he says his process is the same, whether it's practice, family night, a game, etc. I don't know if Anders mentally has that same approach yet. Where it's just that ball's gone, next kick. But I did think that when we criticized Anders Carlson, he did not miss many kicks back-to-back. I think there was one instance last year where he missed a kick and then he missed the next one. So I don't know. I haven't solved the riddle of what is holding Anders Carlson back from being more consistent. But Greg Joseph has definitely been more consistent. He definitely has some sort of lead, but the race is not anywhere close to being over.
You could say he has a leg up on the competition. Yeah, Jason, did you literally have your finger on the button? Were you ready for me to make it?
I saw that grin. I knew what was coming.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, you could say that, but I wouldn't, but you did. All right, guys, take care. Be good.
All right, we've got Craig Karmazin coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
Gabe, you're right. I actually just looked at the stats. No hypocrite has ever won a championship.
Fridays with Mo.
Mark Attanasio, the last thing he wanted to do was play a video and tribute Craig Council in any way. So I give Mark Attanasio a ton of credit.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. He is sponsored by Landworks Landscape Services. Their creative and talented team will design, build, enhance, and maintain beautiful landscapes in southeastern Wisconsin. Learn more and see their work at landworkswisconsin.com.
It's
that time. Time to talk to Craig Karmazin. Craig, good morning. How has your week been?
Oh, it's been wonderful. I can't believe I didn't get the invite to the fantasy draft.
Wait, you didn't?
No, I just heard about it. Joshy was just like, hey, we're talking a little about the draft. I didn't even know there was a draft.
Oh, that's poor communication.
You wouldn't have went anyways. Don't lie to us.
Would you have gone?
I would have. Like, it almost would have worked out perfectly. My sister's in town. Would have been tough. Almost.
Almost would have worked out perfectly. Well, that's all right. Would you have had a team? That would have been fun. If you had a league.
Yeah, of course.
You would have had a league, and then everybody could draft with Craig. Yeah, that would have been fun. We have been talking about the Green Bay Packers, and Mina Kimes on television the other day said that she thinks the NFC North might be the best division in all of football this season. Are you buying that, or is that a little too hyperbolic for your blood?
I don't know that it's the best, but, I mean, might be the best I'm fine with. Yeah, I'm fine with that. I don't think Mina, tries to be hot takey too much, so I'll buy that. But I think I think the AFC North's going to be really good.
Mm-hmm.
It depends. I mean, I guess it depends what happens with the Steelers quarterbacks, but they end up being good even when their quarterbacks have been bad. So I think all those teams are really good in the AFC North.
Are you pro-Gush or anti-Gush?
You might have to
look.
Do you understand? Can you filter the Gush? Jair talking about Dobbs yesterday on how he potentially could be triple teamed. And then we asked Jason, and Jason likes Dobbs, but Jason was giving a comparison. I said, give me a comparison. And I was kind of like waiting for him to say Devontae Adams light, a young Donald Driver. And he came up with James Jones, who was nothing better than a number three. And you typically, typically you don't triple team number three receivers.
No, but don't you think this time of, I went to camp the other day and it's like hot out and it's like hard work and you're like grinding through. Like, don't you think you get a little like delirious and delusional and like you have to just say things to keep it interesting? Like if you're a player, like especially before you're playing games and if you're not even going to play the first preseason game. So aren't you like kind of like, hey, that guy looks good. I want to give him some confidence. I'm gonna gush him up a little bit. Like,
yeah, but it's Craig. As soon as someone says triple team, don't you just dismiss it? And we've had the gushing over the defense over the last 8 years, and I agree that I like the scheme much better.
No one has said something good about the defense in the last 8 years.
Are you kidding me? Last year, Aaron Rodgers is like, we're getting our ass kicked every day in camp by this defense, which is unbelievable.
Well, that's because the Jets' defense was good. I mean, the Jets have a great defense, so it makes sense that Aaron Rodgers would say that.
I just have to filter the gush, you know?
I get it. That's why you should be focused on the Brewers and the pennant race in August. Look at what's going on. 5.5 games in front.
Yeah, but it didn't. All right, we'll pivot if you want to. But didn't the trade deadline kind of? Didn't you think they would do more?
Well, what more would they have done? Got a bat?
Go and got Vlad.
Yes, that was thrown out there as a Christian Yelich is really good, and in order to replace him, we would have to get a player of Vlad's caliber.
How excited would you be if they traded for Vlad?
What would they have given up?
I don't care. Everything.
Okay, well, I think they do.
Like three or four, Jen, three or four guys that you never heard of, or like one or two that you have, I guess. And like
just, I like all in. Like, I like all in. I'm a guy that, even with the Packers, you give me a Super Bowl and then suck for 10, 12 years, I am fine with it.
Dude, the CC Sabathia thing, I think, ruined us all forever, right? Like when they traded for CC, and then CC was like, I know my agent is going to kill me, but I'm going to pitch as part of a three-man rotation, and I don't care if I throw my arm out, even though I'm a free agent and have $200 million waiting for me on the other end of this. I mean, that was so crazy that I think Brewers fans like have been waiting for the next version of that. But this is a really fun team.
Oh,
right?
It is, like, yes.
I mean, and so 5.5 games out of the Cardinals, and the Phillies are the only team that looks like complete. Like, so I don't think like there's other years where I've been like, oh, if they don't make a trade, they're in trouble. Like, I think this lineup's really good as it is.
What about
right
now, if Braun's out for the year?
Whoa, Yelich.
Or Yelich, sorry. I don't know why I went.
I think if Yelich is out for the year, I think Braun wears his jersey under his own and then like finds a way to make an impact.
So I'm with you. I think they are an exciting team. Just for clarification's sake, they are 5-5 over their last 10. They have lost their last two, and there is a little bit of a, let's get back on track. I think I saw Dario on WISN 12 the other night when I was watching his show say they haven't won a home series since June. So is this just one of those, you know, characteristic, quote-unquote, slumps that happened during the baseball season, Craig, or is it a sign of kind of who this team is?
I mean, I think we're 2/3 through the season, so we know who this team is, and they're in first place. I think the thing about baseball is look who was in the World Series last year. Like,
I agree.
Like Arizona got a little hot and went. Like, I don't think you have to be, the 1927 Yankees, which I know most of you are familiar with, to make the World Series these days.
Yeah, but if you lose your best player.
But they haven't lost him yet.
No, but it's backs suck.
He's going to do maintenance. Yeah. He's going to do treatment. He's not going to do the surgery. He's going to try to push this thing through. Which, to be perfectly honest with you, Chu, if they do make a deep playoff run and, God willing, do win the World Series, that will be something that needs to be talked about. The fact that Christian Yelich could have bowed out, essentially at the end of July, gotten back surgery, but chose to stick it out. And so he could be available for the team. That'd be nice. That'd be a nice little story.
Yeah.
Do a documentary on that.
There's so many guys who I, coming into the year, had no feel for on this team. And, the way it's come together, and now, the fact that it's in August, and that's why I always wonder about in Wisconsin, right? Like in September, will this team get swept under, and will we forget about this team for September? So at least I don't want to forget about this team in August, right? Because we know September football is going to, like, you know, it, between Badger and Packers, is going to overpower some of the oxygen. And that's why I think August is just so key. Because, Jen, you're right. Like, they lost the series at home to the Marlins. Like, the Braves are a good team. And, you know, and so it is like, all right, now they have to kind of get back to winning two out of three games so that they can go into September still up by six, seven games.
Will you go to State Fair?
Not going to go to State Fair. I love State Fair.
I love State Fair. Not,
are you a milk guy at State Fair?
No, I'm a uni guy. I just go for the unis. No, uniforms.
Unibrow.
I got to have the stones. Please. One year just to go black shoes, white socks, up the maybe some orthopedic socks with a tucked-in jersey and jorts and like a cowboy hat.
It's good luck.
With like a suns out, guns out.
I want to be one of those guys that, hey, did you see this big dude walking around looking like a goonard?
I think people would still recognize you.
Ah,
yes. What do you think, Joshy? Mark Chamorro's walking around the Wisconsin State Fair, even if he's wearing his, I don't even know what you would call that outfit that you just described. People are still recognizing you.
He's unmistakable. You still look like an athlete.
Isn't that like what, you would expect to be dressed? Like, isn't that like... almost like wearing the number 89 Packers jersey. Isn't that like what his uniform would be?
No, black shoes, orthopedic socks, jorts, and a tucked-in jersey? No.
Be sweet.
I see our guy every day. He wears an Under Armour shirt of a various color.
Yeah, which smells.
You know, there are people on the Talk and Text line who have been like, he has that shirt in every color, doesn't he?
I do.
Amazon special. All right, Craig. Good chatting with you this morning. We'll talk to you again soon. Have a great weekend.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. That's Craig Karmazin. All right. We are Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. No Gabe today, but we will continue rolling on. Before we do, though, tune in to Thanalysis Show every week. It's presented by Gruber Law Offices. Thanasis Antetokounmpo, who, by the way, there is a picture circulating on social media this morning of Thanasis absolutely losing his mind after a Giannis dunk in the game that Greece is playing this morning in the Olympic action. If you haven't seen it, check it out. It is awesome. But you can hear from him on his show. He's got special guests, fun and surprising conversations. Jordan Love was on there. Logan Paul was on there. These are unique guests that you get to hear from through Thanalysis' lens. It is on YouTube. You can see exclusive video content as well. Thanalysis Show is presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Do you like your pickles warm or cold?
Want my pickle a little warm.
Warm's good.
It's better than cold.
Cold can be good, too.
Yeah, well, no, cold can be good. It's not great.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Folks, weighing in on our ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line on what they think Chewy should wear when he goes to State Fair. Dave from Aaron saying, if you got cut off sleeves and had a Super Chew tattoo showing, you would be recognized. That's your Superman tattoo, I believe. I do think that the sleeves is a big thing. You have to wear sleeves if you're trying to go incognito.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, well, people will recognize your guns.
Jorts are back, though, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Jorts are back, so that's not as goofy.
Dumpy in West Bend saying, you need a fanny pack.
Yeah, that, yes. But those are kind of back, too.
100%. For dudes, though?
That's a bad look. I think black sneakers with white socks is just...
the worst.
Not a good look.
Just the worst look.
Black sneakers is stylus to the core.
I think the old bike coaching shorts with the two snaps and their, you know, show your bulge. You know, Irv Favre used to have every color of those. Not a good look.
Yeah, I remember.
You remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, not a good look.
Kind of like, you know who else pops into mind is Buddy Ryan.
Buddy Ryan, yeah, he wore them. Yeah, Ron Wolf. One of the worst dressers.
You wouldn't wear that to State Fair.
No, I wouldn't, but Ron would wear the, you know, the hiked up tennis shorts with... you know, like 407s in the mid-calf sock.
Uh-huh.
That was never a good look.
Do you guys play like any sort of bingo game when you go to State Fair? Like maybe even unofficially of like you're looking for certain things?
See, I always played a game in college and I continue it today where you walk by someone, you know, let's say I saw someone at the fair and I go, gin lotta. And Angie would go, you're way off, or yeah, that's a good call.
Like they look like? Yes. Like it's a, like yes. It's a doppelganger.
Look like
doppelganger.
Game. Okay.
We love that game.
I think we could create the official State Fair bingo for people. We look for the mullet, belly yes. hanging out of the bottom of the shirt. You know, just the classics.
Yes.
Butt crack. Shorts that show butt cheeks, you know, all those things. I think we could easily come up with a full bingo board.
That would be good. Another game we play is when we go to the airports. We try to guess where the person's from.
Oh, you know? Okay.
Like people from New York, all they wear is black.
Okay.
That's it. North Carolina is...
Good thing I got this jean jacket on today, yeah. Otherwise I'd take it straight.
And North Carolina is, you know, the button-down shirt,
okay.
Khakis, okay. You know.
The nice the fishing
combed
shirt.
Hair to the side.
The fishing shirts, yeah.
California are grunge. Texas are big. Just whatever they're wearing, it's bigger.
Just like big people? Like
nah, like huge jacks on girls or something like that. Or you know what I'm saying?
Bigger
Everything's
Texas.
Bigger in Texas.
Salt Midwest, Lake Surface, Florida.
Midwest? I'm staying away from that. I'm saying.
Why? This entire segment you've been doing so well.
I know.
All right, we got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Yeah, folks now weighing in on things they expect to see at State Fair. Go ahead and get us your reaction. 800-990-3776. What are some looks you know you will see at the Wisconsin State Fair, which kicked off yesterday in West Allis?